On today's program, Andrew Womack will inspire you to reach out and take the healing that is yours in Jesus Christ. God wants you well, and that's the gospel truth. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the gospel truth. Today, I am continuing a series on God Wants You Well, and this coming Friday is going to be my last day to teach on this. I tell you, there's so much more that we could say, but I've laid a foundation. I've been on this for 6 weeks, and we are going to end this series on Friday. We've got a brand new book on this entitled God Wants You Well. It's got a picture of a, you know, the typical logo for a handicapped, and then it's got a person getting out and walking. God Wants You Well. Brand new book. And we've packaged it together with a bunch of other materials, including the DVDs that we've been playing on our programs, these testimonies about people that have been miraculously healed, and just a lot of resources to help you get healed and also to help you share this with other people. You know, there's a lot of people that won't receive just teaching from the Word. They should, but they won't. But they will receive a person's testimony. You know, they might sit here and listen to me teach, and they'll sit there and say, well, I just think he's a crackpot. I don't agree with the thing he says. And they might discredit me. But when I come out and show a testimony of somebody, it's harder for them to say, well, I just believe that this person is lying about what happened to them. And it causes them to open up and entertain truths. And so we've got these two DVDs on healing journeys and some things that I think could really help you to be able to share these truths with other people. So I encourage you to please take advantage of it. Remember that this Friday is our last day that we're going to be offering this. I've been teaching from Mark chapter 5 about the laws of faith. And I was talking about this woman that came and touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and he didn't know who it was that touched him. He didn't evaluate her, size her up and say, okay, you're holy enough. No, he didn't even know who touched him. And it illustrates that faith flows through laws, just like electricity. It wasn't something that God personally decided to heal this woman. He didn't even know who she was. But when you connect make the connection, the power just flows, just like electricity flows through a wire to somebody who's grounded, because there are laws that govern how electricity works. There's laws that govern how healing works. And that's what we've been illustrating. So the very first one that we talked about in verse 27, it says, when she had heard of Jesus. You have to hear. Faith comes by hearing. And I've really tried to emphasize how important it is to know the Word of God. And then it says, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, there's two things right there. There's two more laws. One of them is that faith without works is dead. This is out of James chapter 2. Faith without works, or faith without corresponding actions. If you don't act on what you've heard and believe, then it is dead. You know, if you go back to this analogy about electricity, if you somehow or another didn't act on your faith, it would be like having some kind of an insulation over that thing that just keeps the power from flowing. It stops the flow of that electricity. It insulates it. It stops it. Well, faith without works stops the power of God from operating. So you've got to add actions to your faith. Remember, the first law that we talked about was that you got to hear. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. But then faith has to be acted upon. Now, this is really simple, but it's profound. And most people do not really use actions the way that you should. You know, one of the things that makes us different between God and man is that man was created with a physical body. God, it says in John chapter 4, verse 24, is a spirit. And so God was a spirit, but when he created the worlds, he gave the authority to this earth to people with physical human bodies. A demon, Satan, doesn't have a physical body. They are a spirit being, it says over in Hebrews chapter 1, that are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation? And so angels are spirits. That's the reason they have to have a body to inhabit, to work through. This is why God has to flow through people. It's all about the authority. All of the authority of the believer is invested in the fact that we have a physical body. Do you know Paul is still alive? He's not alive in a physical body, but you don't cease to exist when you die. You just become in the spirit and soulish realm, but your physical body dies. So Paul is still alive. The Scripture says in Hebrews, we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. And that's talking about the saints that have gone on before. Paul and other saints are alive, but they don't have any power or authority to do anything on this earth because they don't have a physical body. I have more authority than the Apostle Paul does because I still have a physical body. This physical body is super important. And I say all of that to say that if you don't get this body involved in believing God, if you don't act and do something, then you are short-circuiting the power of God. You not only need faith to come through hearing the Word of God, but then your physical body is how you release that power. You need to use your body like a weapon to act against sickness and against disease. You know, I can give you 100 examples of this, but back in the very beginning when Jamie and I were just getting started, I was in Sigaville, Texas, and I was painting a house trying to make some money. And I mean, this is back during our poverty days, and we were struggling. We needed the money, and we didn't get paid until I got through. And I was up painting a house. I was on the eave of a house. It was a two-story house, and this was a real pitched roof. And so I was really like three stories tall, swinging from a rope, trying to paint this eave under this house. And I started getting sick. And I got dizzy and thought I was going to fall. And I mean, by the time lunch came, I went home to eat some lunch and I was feeling so bad that I was going to stay at home and not go back. And we needed the money. And Jamie, she helped me act in faith because she says, we need to finish this job today. We need this money. And I said, but oh, I feel sick. And she says, you act on your faith. Faith without works is dead. So she prayed over me, and I felt like laying down because I felt sick. But she put my arm around her neck, and she went dancing and dragging me through the house. And she says, you're going to act well. You are well. And eventually, I just, you know, in self-defense, started acting like I was well. And I mean, within 30 minutes, it's like an hour lunch break. And within 30 minutes, I was back to being well because I used my body like a weapon and started acting. And when you start acting, then your faith is made perfect. It's made complete. Now, let me put a little parenthesis in here, and this is an important parenthesis. Boy, it's amazing how people forget this. But faith does not come by you acting like you have faith. That's major. Your actions don't make faith come. But if you have faith, your faith won't be complete or perfect until you act. Now, that's an important distinction because, see, some people have thought when you talk about things like this and how I acted like I was well and started resisting this thing, some people will think, all right, well, I'm going to act. And if I'll just do this, then faith will come and I'll be healed. And so they go off their medication and they die. And people say, well, man, that's because they tried to believe God. They thought that their actions would make faith come. That's not what I'm saying. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You have to, first of all, have heard the Word and faith really be working on the inside of you. And only if you already have faith will your faith be made perfect through actions, as it says in James chapter 2. And some people have just mimicked other people who had faith and acted on their faith, and they mimicked them without having the faith themselves, and because of it they die or they don't get the results that they want. So faith doesn't come by acting, but if you have faith, it won't be complete and it won't produce the right results until you act on it. There's a big difference. Somebody says, well, how can we know the difference? The only way I know to know for sure is whether or not they live or die. Amen. If they died, they weren't really believing. They may have been acting like it, but they weren't really believing because if you have faith and if you act on it, it works. But it's important that you understand this. You know, there's another instance when I was in Seagoville, and this was the night before I was going to be ordained to the ministry, and I was working outside, and the garage door on the place that we rented stuck if you got it in a certain place. And anyway, I went to raise this garage door, and I just yanked it real quick, and it hit that spot, and it got stuck. And when I did, I pulled something in my back, and I mean, I hurt myself really bad. I fell down on the ground. I was laying there in terrible pain, and it was so bad I couldn't even yell for help. And my son Joshua was only 1 year old at the time, and so Joshua was out there with me, and I whispered to him, "Joshua, go get Mommy." And he just would stand there and say, "Mommy." And it was not working very well. Eventually, he wandered in the house, and Jamie came out. Jamie saw me laying on the ground, and I whispered to her what had happened, and she prayed for me and then grabbed me and jerked me up and says, "Stand up, act like you're well." And you know what? When I stood up, I don't know what happened, but I had such pain, and my shoulder blades, somehow or another, my shoulders were pulled back, and my shoulder blades were touching each other in the back. I don't even know how that happened, but I couldn't stand up straight. My shoulders were thrown back, and I had this terrible pain. And it was the night before I was going to be ordained to the ministry, and I was thinking, boy, this will really look great, be standing up there, being a man of God, getting ordained to pray for the sick and do all of these things, and I've got terrible pain. And so what I did, I went in, and I really believed God. I knew what the Word said, and I'd seen other people heal. And I just refused to allow whatever had happened to my back to dominate me, and I started resisting it. The Bible says, James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And one of the ways you resist is like with your body acting against what you feel. And I felt terrible pain. I couldn't stand up straight. And what I started doing push-ups, sit-ups, I started doing all kinds of things that I didn't feel like doing and fighting this pain that was in my back. And it got to where I could move, but I still had a lot of pain. And then that night, I went to bed. Now, I don't necessarily encourage you going to bed during the day, but, you know, normally you sleep at night. And so I stayed up and fought this thing and did what I needed to do during the day. But at night, when it was time to go to bed, I went to bed. Jamie and I prayed and agreed that when we woke up that I'd be totally well and over this. And I slept pretty good, woke up, felt really good. And I jumped up out of bed and boom, my shoulders went back and that pain struck me right between my shoulders. And I went through that whole day just struggling and resisting and fighting and doing everything I knew to do. And finally, it was time to get ready and go to this service where they were going to ordain me to the ministry. And we didn't have a shower. We had a tub, and I was in the tub washing my hair. And when I bent my neck over, you know, like when you wash your hair, it was when it hurt the worst. It was right at the base of my neck. And I mean, I really hurt. And I started, you know, ask Jamie to wash my hair. But finally I decided, you know what? I wouldn't normally ask Jamie to wash my hair. I'm not going to act sick. I'm going to act like I'm well. And I just put my head over in the position that hurt the worst. I started praying in tongues and washing my hair and doing what I had to do and saying, I refuse to act sick. I am not going to have this back problem. And I started resisting it. And somewhere between the first and the second rinse, all of the pain left, my shoulders straightened up, I went to the deal that night, I was completely healed. And that problem lasted just a little bit over 24 hours. I never had it diagnosed, but I can guarantee you, I really did something bad to my body. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that people have happen and then they struggle with it the rest of their life, even after going to the doctor and even after getting surgery and all of this. But it only lasted a little over 24 hours with me, and since that time, I work all of the time. I lift rocks. I do things, and I have never had a back problem. I had to stand and fight, and I used my body like a weapon. This is one of the laws of God. Some of you may think I'm extreme, but I'm telling you what works. You need to act well. If you feel bad, instead of laying in the bed and popping pills and letting your wife rub your fevered brow and telling everybody how bad you feel, Get up and act against that as much as you can. Again, don't think that actions produce faith. No, but if you already believe, your faith will not be complete until you act on it. You know, people in the past that I've read about, Smith Wigglesworth, and there's lots of people that I've read about healing evangelists. One of the things that they constantly do is tell people to act on your faith. They give people something to do. They tell them, go do something. And Smith Wigglesworth used to do this constantly. He would ask people, like I remember that there was a woman who was on the verge of death. She was actually kind of in a comatose state. And this, of course, is back in the early 1900s. And they didn't have a way really of knowing for sure if she was alive or dead without taking her to a doctor. And she just looked like that she was already dead or in a coma. And he talked to her and he told this woman, he says, you've got to do something. He says, if you are listening to me, if you are in agreement, do something. And she just laying there. She was like paralyzed. And he says, move something, move a finger. And they watched her and her little finger began to move. Now, some people will think, what does that have to do with anything? She was acting on her faith. She was believing God. She was resisting that thing. And all she could do was move a little finger out of her whole body. And Smith Wigglesworth says, that's enough. And he prayed for her, and this lady got healed. And some people, see, would underestimate that and not think that that's an important thing. But it is important for you to resist, to fight, to do something. Again, I use a verse that I've used often through this series. In James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The word resist means to actively fight against. And one of the ways that you actively fight against or resist the devil is with your body. You act against that sickness and against what you feel. I could give you so many illustrations of this. People that have come to our school, I remember one lady, Hank and Mary Lenz, came to our school. And Mary, when she first came to the school, was in a wheelchair with multiple sclerosis. And she was pretty bad off. And she just started hearing the Word of God. She heard these truths about faith without works is dead. She started resisting. And you know what? It was hard on her. She didn't get just an instantaneous healing. But she started resisting and fighting against that. And she got to where she could get out of the wheelchair sometimes. Then she started using a cane sometimes. And now she answers our phones and I see her here and her husband works here. And you know what? She's walking. And there may be, if you watched her closely, you might be able to recognize that it's not maybe as fluid as some people. But just a few years ago, she was wheelchair bound, couldn't even get out of it. And she just started resisting and fighting. We have another student that had multiple sclerosis, and he went through the first year class. And at the end of the first year, he was really disappointed. And he says, I thought I was just going to be healed if I came to school. And I told him, I said, well, you know what? Sometimes you just lay hands on the sick and they recover. It's not instantaneous. It happens over a period of time. I said, you need to go to fighting this. And he says, but I can't do anything. And he actually, when he came to school, had lost the feeling in his hands and couldn't even hold a pen anymore. Couldn't even do his test because he was losing all of the feeling in his hands. And I said, what do you have faith for? I said, he's in a wheelchair. And I said, you're in a wheelchair and you have all these things, but what is it that you can do? And he says, I want my hands back. And I said, do you have faith that you could believe God and start moving your hands? And he said, yes. And I said, well, let's start with your hands. And I just agreed with him and prayed. And then I said, when you go home, you get you a ball or something and you go to squeezing it and you start fighting this and you start fighting against it. And, you know, it was only in a week or two he had the complete feeling in his hands back and he started doing it. And he can now get out of his wheelchair some. He's beginning to do some things. He's fighting against it. He's still in the battle. But I tell you, I'm seeing this happen, that your body is a weapon. It's what gives you authority in this world. And this is exactly what Jesus did. John chapter 9, it was when Jesus passed by. He saw a man which was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And he said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had done this, he spit on the ground and made clay of the spit. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Now, you know, this story, there's a lot in it, but I just wanted to use this one thing. He spit on the ground, made clay out of his spit, and put it on this man's eyes and said, go to the pool of Siloam. He was at the gate of the temple when this happened. And if you take a map of Jerusalem and go from the gate of the temple to the pool of Siloam, it's about 3/4 of a mile through busy Jerusalem streets with camels and donkeys and people and things like this. And you got to remember, this man was blind. And here he is with clay, spit dripping down his cheeks, and Jesus told him to go to the pool of Siloam. Why do you think he did that? Some people think he did it just to be weird, just so that you couldn't figure him out. There's some people that actually teach things like that, that the Lord does all of these weird and mysterious things to keep you from ever figuring out things. And yet the God who created such order in universe is himself not disorderly. There's reasons why he did things. And you know what he was doing? This man didn't come to Jesus and ask for healing. He was pointed out by his disciples. He had not made any action of faith. He hadn't asked for healing. He hadn't desired it. He had done nothing. And so in order to receive, faith without works is dead. There had to be some corresponding action to go along with it. And so the Lord spit on the ground, put this spit and clay on man's eyes. And if he hadn't have had faith, this man would have just wiped this clay and spit off of his eyes and have stayed there. And he says, you aren't moving me. I'm here to beg. If he didn't expect anything, he would have just wiped that off and have sat right back down and have continued doing what he had done every day for his whole life. But you know what? He walked 3/4 of a mile through busy city streets to go wash in the pool of Siloam. He could have washed in probably a pail or something that they had right there. Why did he do this? Because he believed. It was an act of faith, and this is why Jesus told him to do it. He told people with their arms withered and all drawn up, stretch forth your arm, which most people would criticize and say he can't stretch forth his arm, but the Lord told him to. And so he started doing what he could do. Maybe he could only move it a little bit, and then as he tried, all of a sudden, here comes the power of God, and his arms completely heal. I'm telling you that you need to do what you don't feel like doing. Now again, let me put this parenthesis in here. Your actions will not make you believe God. If you really don't have faith and if you aren't trusting God, then don't act like it. But if you really do trust God, you aren't going to see your faith complete until you act on it. That is a law of God. I'm out of time, but we are going to continue this teaching on our program tomorrow, so I encourage you to listen in then. Also, listen as our announcer gives you some information so that you can get these materials that we're offering on this subject of God Wants You Well.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, God Wants You Well, is available in a brand new book for a gift of $14 or more. Request book number T330 when you contact us. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T430. The entire series is also available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is available for a gift of $30 or more. Request item T1036C for the CDs or item T1036D for the DVDs. Or you can receive the book, study guide, and album as part of the Better Healthcare package. The package includes your choice of either the CD or DVD series, the new God Wants You Well book, along with a companion study guide, plus Healing Journeys Volume 1 and Volume 2, and the Healing Scriptures CD. The entire package has a catalog value of $136, but today we'd like to offer it to you for a gift of $100 or more. To get the Better Healthcare Package, request item T4505. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The fourth teaching in the God Wants You Well CD series titled The Laws of Faith is available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, there's a lot of material that I have on the healing, and this package that we've put together called A Better Healthcare Package is, of course, going to help you, but you could even go beyond that. And on our website, I have all of this teaching that I'm doing on television about healing right there. You can watch those free of charge on our website. There's also a lot of material. I've got over 300 of my teachings available as free MP3 downloads. We've got daily devotionals. We've got a lot of materials. It is a tremendous site. And if you really are wanting to know about healing, I tell you, it'll make a big difference. So please check out our website. The address is right there on the screen.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp next week, May 28th through the 31st, in Woodland Park, Colorado, June 26th for the Pikes Peak Christian Artist Festival, and in Colorado Springs for the Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd. He'll also be in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a Gospel Truth Seminar, July 15th through the 17th, in Durant, Oklahoma, July 28th through the 30th, and in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
It's our premier event of the year, the 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Join us Monday, June 28th through Friday, July 2nd at the beautiful Crown Plaza Hotel for an experience you'll never forget. Morning speakers include Karis Bible College instructors, and Andrew Womack will be teaching each evening.
How good it is to give thanks unto the Lord.
Praise and worship with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc.
To give thanks.
A full children's ministry and so much more. Bring the family and enjoy Colorado. For reservations and more info, log on to awmi.net and click on Meetings. The 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.